Open with a word of prayer real quick. Lord God, we just thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity to come together and to be together and to just fellowship with our Christian sisters, Lord. We just ask that you just, God, just pray that you would just speak this morning, that you would just open our hearts and our eyes and our ears and our minds to hear what you have to say, God. I pray that you would just give me the words to say and that you would be honored and glorified and all I say and all we do, Lord. We love you, God, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, we're going to just be finishing up, really, what Miss Teresa started last week. The chapter she was on last week was called Kindle the Fire in Corporate Worship. And so we're going to kind of spend most of our time finishing up those points that we kind of had to rush through real quick. And then we'll move into kind of a brief introduction, if we have time, to the next chapter. Of course, we're still in the book Habits of Grace, where we've been learning about all the main methods and pathways of grace that we often call just spiritual disciplines. The things that we do that help us grow in grace. The things that we do that help us grow in our walk with the Lord. Each one of them, you know, consists of subtopics that we've been discussing. And today is still under that last category. But let's review real quick. What are the three pathways or habits of grace? This is on your handout that we've been discussing. Every week we've said them. What are they? What's number one?
Word.
That's right, the Word of God. God's Word. Number two? Prayer. And number three?
Fellowship.
Fellowship. Very good. And that's the one we're currently discussing, is fellowship. And that's what this chapter is kind of breaking down a little bit, another important aspect of fellowship. Fellowship focuses on the ways the church as a whole contributes to us growing in the grace of God. It's how we work together. It's not just about, we've talked about, not just about food and fun and friends together, although those are often involved in our fellowship time together. But true fellowship, you know, we talked about, is meeting, and when we meet together, is rooted in one common thing, which is Christ. Christ and His mission. And that's what we are rooted in. That's what we're grounded in. And that when we come together with that as our focus, that's true fellowship. And so Miss Teresa told us last week that, you know, that we minister grace to each other in several different ways. We listed these and we discussed these. She covered them a few weeks ago and reviewed them last week. So I want to just write them down one more time. We're just going to list them again. How do we minister grace to each other in Christian fellowship? What are the things that we do to help each other? Number one, by listening well. Remember we discussed that. By listening well. And I'm not going to go in depth on these. Ms. Teresa did that last week. I just wanted to get them down again. By holding our tongue. We learn to keep quiet and hold our tongue and be wise with our speech. Number three, through the ministry of meekness. 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 I'm not saying clearly. M-E-E-K. N-E-S-S. I know, it's hard to, like, I'm not, it's a weird word that's not pronounced easily. The ministry of meekness. Through also the ministry, number four, of actively helping each other. Helping each other. Number five, by bearing one another's burdens. These are how we minister to each other. These are the things that we can do to help grow in the grace of God. Number six, by bringing God's word to each other. And then number seven, by proclaiming the authority of God. Those are the things that allow us to help each other grow in grace. The little things we do to help us spiritually discipline each other to live godly lives. Those are the things that we want to be doing. We need each other. We depend on each other. We fall, we stray, we struggle. We need each other to help us grow in those graces. And those are the benefits of Christian fellowship. And I started thinking as I was studying those again, how interesting it is, you know, when I think of these characteristics of how these are all, when you think of godly saints, you know, that you've been in fellowship with your whole life or that you've known in church, how those are representative of their life. Those are the characteristics of godly women that we know. Those are the things they do. And that's what we want to do. That's what we want to be as godly women, as we're growing in fellowship. But we need each other to do that. And those are just so important. But Miss Teresa covered those. And after she did that, we moved on into the chapter that she started last week, which discussed the importance of corporate worship as an important aspect of fellowship that helps grow us. So corporate worship was our study last week, okay? This is on your handout. She reminded us that worship is both corporate and life. All right? Worship is both corporate and life. She mentioned that last week. Our life worship, our life, the way we live our lives, is worship when we live holy lives. Okay, that's on your handout too. Our life worship is how we live holy lives. Again, like last week, it's not the focus of this study, but I thought it was important to worth mentioning again. Romans tells us, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So we know that the way we live our lives is worship to God. Paul was reminding the Romans there that because of who they are in Christ, because of what he's done for them, you know, it was critical for them to live holy lives. It was important. And he was urging them and pleading with them to live holy lives because that is your worship to God. So that was our individual life worship. But again, our focus today and last week is on corporate worship. This is where we come together as a local body of believers with a complete and sole one focus mind, a focus on one thing. Where's our focus to be? On your handout, our focus is to be on the crucified and risen Christ. That's it. When we come together as believers in worship, our focus is solely on Him. It's about Him and His life, death, resurrection, and what He's done for us. And so that's our focus, and that's what corporate worship is, His work, His person, who He is, what He's done. We want to seek and know and enjoy and love Him more. We want to know Him more, and corporate worship is a way that we're able to do that. So she started last week, we started talking about the five benefits of corporate worship. There were five of them. We got through really the first one and in depth where she was able to kind of teach through the first one. And then we kind of quickly went through 2 through 5 and we listed them on our papers. But she really wanted us, Ms. Teresa said, she really wants us to go back through those in depth, wants us to discuss those. So that's what we're going to cover today. If we have time, we will move into the next chapter. Or at least a little brief intro of that. But today we're going to kind of go back over those last few that we mentioned last week on the aspects, benefits of corporate worship. So let's just review 1. What are these benefits of corporate worship? 1, we discussed this in depth last week, awakening. Awakening. One of the benefits of corporate worship is it awakens us. It wakes us up in a spiritually fresh way. You know, oftentimes just the days of the week can be hard. Hard times in life, hard seasons of life, things that are the drudginess of life, things happen that are hard, that are troublesome, you know, even just in a normal day. Things can get us down. We can be defeated. We can feel down. We can feel out. We can feel depressed or whatever. But like David, she read last week, David in the Psalms, his prayer. You know, he was frustrated at the seemingly prospering of the wicked. How does it always seem like the wicked prosper? And like him, we can get in that same spiritual fog. We get distracted with things of the world. It's easy to. We get brought down by life in this world. We can get caught up in our flesh. It gets to us. But in those times, sometimes it's easy for us to stay home. I just want to stay home. I want to be by myself. I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to be alone. I don't feel good, and we want to stay home. But that's the exact opposite of what we need to do. We want to avoid people at activity, but being with God's people in corporate worship revives us. It awakens us. It strengthens us. It gives us that vigor we need. It helps us keep going. It gives us that spiritual strength to keep walking that narrow path that is hard. And then we get back on Monday morning, and we're hit in the face with it again, but we're a little bit stronger. And so that first point is it awakens us. We don't want to neglect corporate worship because it does. It gives us the strength to keep moving, to keep going. Psalm 73:28, I think I put this on your handout, under 1, says, but it is good for me to what? Draw near to God. Draw near to Him. And corporate worship is a place where that is done. We can draw near to God when we come together for worship. So the next few, we really just kind of mentioned. We didn't talk a lot. We're going to just kind of go through them a little bit today. Number two, the next benefit of corporate worship, assurance. Okay? Corporate worship reminds us that we are truly a part of the body and that we serve a true Savior. So it is an assurance that we are part of a greater body of believers and that we are serving a true Savior. Okay? Genesis 2:18 says it's not good that man should be alone. Of course, here in that text, he's referring to the individual man and the creation of woman, but it is applicable to all of us. It is not good for us to be alone. We need people around us. We need each other. God created us for community. We call it the church, local and global. But our local church, the body of believers we come together with, is what's helpful in this daily life, the life we're living, and the growing and the assurance of our faith. We get security in our salvation when we're together. The next point, when we come regularly to worship together, we are reminded that our profession in Christ is true, that we profess Christ. We are reminded, hey, our profession is true. I am saved. I am part of this body of believers. Our profession is true, but also that our Savior is real and trustworthy. We can trust Him. We're just reminded, really, of how great He is and what a great position we're in to be in His family. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep what I've committed to Him until that day." He is able. He is strong enough. He has us. So when we come in corporate worship, we're reminded of that assurance of being a part of His family, of being a part of His people. He has us, and He is strong enough to handle all that comes our way. We're in good hands. We can trust that in spite of those struggles, in spite of those hard times, in spite of those drudgery days, in spite of all the things that get us down, you know, Christ is enough. He's with us. He is with us, and He is enough, and we can trust that. Corporate worship helps us see that and helps us believe that and helps us know that. Number three, the third benefit is advance. Advance, okay? The benefit of spiritual growth. We're moving forward, okay? We advance in our walk with God when we are together in corporate worship. It contributes to our sanctification. What is that sanctification? That progressive growth process where we are being, this is on your handout, conformed into the image of Jesus. Sanctification is that process where we are slowly being made into the likeness of Christ. We're being conformed into His image. And so when we come to corporate worship, that's another step in our faith journey. It's another step along the way. It's helping us advance into being more like Him, living lives that please Him, doing things His way. We're able to be conformed more into His image as we're in corporate worship together. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." So those of us that are saved are being conformed. We are. He's doing a work. If we are a believer, He is doing the work in us to make us more in His image. Slowly but surely, sometimes it's hard, depending on our obedience and response sometimes, but we are moving towards it. But corporate worship is another benefit to that. It advances our walk with the Lord. It grows us and it strengthens us. We're encouraged. 1 Corinthians says, I missed the point, the next point. Corporate worship builds up the body. And this is still under advancement. It builds up the body. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." So we're encouraged. We're strengthened. We're comforted. We're moving towards Christ. Of course, we know that sanctification is a gradual process and it takes time and it's a slow motion sometimes. But, you know, as I was reading the book, one, there's this quote, sometimes it can be immediate in corporate worship. We think of the purpose of corporate worship sometimes as hearing a message, you know, simply taking it with us, and then we'll apply it later, maybe. And that is true. Sometimes that happens. It is true and beneficial. But the book mentions Tim Keller as saying, and I put this on your handout, that Tim Keller says that sanctification can also happen on the spot, just like that, on the spot. I thought that was a good thing to remember, that as we sit under gospel preaching and engage in corporate worship, it isn't intended for us just to listen and hear and ponder and maybe apply later, although that is good. We do that. But sometimes God takes that message that's preached or that song that's sung or the prayers that are prayed and just immediately hits a need, meets a need, and changes us. It sometimes is immediate. That's still sanctification. When something is changing us and moving us and conforming us, and that can happen in corporate worship. It's more, you know, like he's speaking straight to us. It's more than just that good thought or helpful takeaway, which again are good. But that direct message to our heart, sometimes God just speaks that way. And that is part of the sanctification process. That is conforming us. That is that's a change in me, right there and immediate. We're moving closer to his image. And so the next point under that is corporate worship does not just inform our Christian walk, but it can transform us in the moment. So it doesn't just inform us. We don't just come to take in all the information, although it is a time to come and receive. But it's not just only for receiving and then using later. It really can be transformative in the moment. And I'm sure all of you have had experiences like that where you've been in a worship service and maybe it's a song, maybe it's a prayer somebody prayed, maybe it's the message where it is directly spoken to your heart and is a message from the Lord and it is a change. That is sanctification and that is an advancement in our walk with the Lord. And it's one of the great blessings of coming together to worship together. Number four, corporate worship encourages acceptance of another person's leading. Okay? Corporate worship encourages acceptance of another person's leading. Ms. Teresa talked a little bit about this last week in another point about our private worship time. You know, when we're doing our private time, we're kind of ultimately in control. We decide what we study. We decide how long we're going to spend in prayer. We decide what applications we're going to practice. We're kind of doing our own thing. We kind of manage it, you know. But in corporate worship, that's not the way it is. We are completely dependent on someone else to lead. That's on your handout. We are completely dependent on someone else to lead. Someone else is leading the music. Someone else is leading the praying. Someone else is leading the teaching. Someone else is leading the studying. We're dependent on someone else to do that. So it's out of our control. We just have to be receptive, open to respond. We receive the direction from someone else. And this takes discipline. I mean, it takes discipline to sit there and be open to receive what the leaders are bringing and what they're doing. You know, many times we have our own thoughts and our own ideas and our own preferences kind of in the front of our mind. And when it doesn't go as we think it should, we kind of grumble and complain. You know, well, why do we do this? Or why do we do this? Or why do we do that? You know, that's common. But when we do that, we miss a benefit of worship. You know, we miss the idea of it's good to be led by someone else. It's good to be brought into a focus of Christ by someone else. It's good to see what the Lord has done in their preparation for us as a body. And so if we kind of go in with our own ideas and our own thoughts, you know, we can miss this benefit. We do have to train ourselves sometimes, though, to be receptive to our worship leaders, to be submissive, to pursue God not just on our own terms, but on His terms. Corporate worship provides a great opportunity to practice being led and not always on insisting on doing it our own personal way. I just think, you know, we trust that our worship leaders are seeking the Lord to make their decisions on teaching and singing and praying, and we know they are. And then we let them lead us. What's the focus of worship have to be? What does it have to be? Where's our focus have to be? Jesus. If that's being done in worship, than worship. That's what we want to do. We don't want to get caught up in all the little minor details. If they are leading us to Christ, if they're leading us to Jesus, and they're leading us to who he is and what he's done, then we want to be able to worship with a pure heart. And it made me think of all the various churches we've been a part of in our moves around the state. You know, we've gone to different churches, and one of my main prayers every time we moved was, Lord, show us the church to go to. Tell us where to go. Like, make it clear. Show us the house to buy, show us the church to go to, and give us all of God to friend. Those were the three main prayers. And he was so faithful every time. But as the years have gone by and I look back, I have one thing I've thought about is how different all those churches were in their styles. And they were, some were old school, like very, very traditional. Some were very contemporary. Their worship was totally different. But what was unique was they all worshiped. It was all the churches were pure of heart worshipers. The Holy Spirit was present. God was lifted up. Jesus was magnified. So it really, the ways of the service really didn't even matter. Because even the old traditional songs and the newer contemporary songs still brought us to Jesus. And that's what we want. So we want to be mindful of just this, it's okay to submit and to listen as long as our worship is bringing us forward, is bringing us to the cross, is bringing us to the gospel, is bringing us to Jesus. And when our leaders are doing that, we can rest and submit and trust and then worship together as a body. And it is a blessing. It is a benefit to us to do that. The last one benefit of corporate worship, and I'm going to spell this one for you because I know I probably won't say it right. It's accentuated. So the base word is accent. Accentuated. A-C-C-E-N-T-U-A-T-E-D. I want to make sure I said it clearly. It's an accentuated worship experience, okay? When we worship together, the total experience is multiplied. It's better. Our time alone is helpful. We love our worship time alone. It's great. We need independent time in prayer and study and praise, and we need that. It's very meaningful and helpful. But the joys and blessings of personal worship are just accented in corporate worship. They're greater. Because we're all sharing in it together. We're all joining in it together. When we worship, this is on your handout, when we worship and magnify the Lord corporately, our delight in him grows. As we're all there together worshiping and singing and praising and praying and listening to Scripture, we become more delighted in him. As we're brought to Jesus, then we just are more aware of how great he is. We become more in love with him. If we're open to receive the worship, then our delight in him grows, which then deepens our awe and adoration of him. It deepens our awe and adoration of him, which then deepens our joy in him. It deepens our joy in him. Again, it's all about him. The more people that come together that are lifting him up and worshiping him together, then the greater the benefits are and the blessings are. The greater they are. We have multiple blessings. All the blessings that we see in our alone time are just multiplied. And so it's the Swedish proverb I listed there, a shared joy is a double joy. So it's not just you're not on your own. You get the joy of others when we're together in corporate worship. It just helps us remember that we are part of a team. We're part of a group of like-minded believers with a community of people that are it's based on this love of Jesus and a commitment to his mission. When we come to worship together, that's what we're reminded of. We're part of something bigger than ourselves. We're not alone in this earthly walk. We're not by ourselves. Our time in corporate worship with other believers encourages us to keep walking that path, to keep seeking and obeying the Lord, to keep resting in him. It connects us to Jesus. It's important to come and be with other believers focused as a whole on Jesus. It helps us be more preoccupied with him and less preoccupied with ourselves. It takes the focus off of ourselves when we're in corporate worship and we're together worshiping Christ. It's so important. We don't want to miss it, our time together to lift up Jesus as a fellowship of believers. The last point on your handout for this lesson is, the connection to the body brings us more joy. And that was kind of how he ended that chapter, was more joy. We have more joy when we come together as a group. It's just multiplied. Now, the next chapter, I didn't put on the handout because I just kind of want to do an intro. Miss Teresa, I knew I wouldn't be able to get through all of it. So she'll pick up next week and kind of teach the whole chapter. But I wanted to give you a little insight of the next chapter because it's still focusing on this corporate worship idea. So you don't have a handout with this, but let's just talk through this next part. And it's talking about the focus of preaching, the importance of preaching in corporate worship. How is that a means of grace? And how does that help us in our walk? How does that push us along? Corporate worship as a whole is the blessed event, remember, that includes all of these dynamics that we've talked about. God's word, prayer, and fellowship. When we come to corporate worship, we get all those habits are included, right? But preaching is the pinnacle of that time. It is the climax of our corporate worship time. And this next chapter, which Ms. Teresa will go more in depth on, is about the preaching of God's word. So the whole experience in worship includes us hearing and responding. We're hearing songs, we're responding in praise. We're hearing things, we're responding in prayer, listening and talking back to God in prayer. We are open and responsive and receptive so that we can respond properly. That's part of corporate worship. But when it comes time for the message to be preached, you know, that's when God speaks. And we are quiet. We are listening. That's when His message is given. Our hearts then shift from the state of response, you know, to a state of just receive. Let me just take in what He has. You know, let me be prepared. Be ready to hear from God. It's His time to speak when the preaching comes. And as I've gotten older, I've realized and experienced that importance, that pattern in hearing from God, and, you know, the methods of being able to hear Him and receive Him best. You know, sometimes growing up in church, worship service, sometimes, you know, in my mind, was just a structured event. You know, it was what we call church. We came, you know, we'd sing, we'd welcome, we'd preach, we'd respond, we'd leave. It was kind of a pattern. And I don't mean that it was really stagnant or dull. It was always lively. It was worshipful. I'm not saying it was bad. But I just think indirectly sometimes going to church can become a habit that we forget why we're really there. It is the corporate worship time is important. And it's easy to lose track of that purpose of why we're there and what we're doing. You do have to have a plan and a structure in place, you know. But all those plans and the way the music is determined and the way the fellowship is handled and, you know, all of those things are there to help us prepare to receive the message, to prepare us to focus on Jesus. They're not just to sing a song because we like the songs. It is to bring us into that mindset of where is our focus on Jesus. You know, all the details are in place to help us move along and advance, like we just said, in worshiping Him. Brother Nick does this so well, I think. He always reminds us to take a moment before we start even singing. Take a moment to reflect on our hearts, to confess any sin we might have, to pray before we sing, to prepare our hearts, you know, to submit ourselves to God. We want to do that. We want to not just go in there with a mindset of, okay, here we go, another song, let's sing our songs, let's do this, let's hear the message, and let's go. We want to be mindful of the benefit of being there together as believers. And those planned stages and songs and things all have a purpose in bringing us to the throne, really, to bring us to Jesus. But then when that preaching starts, it's time for us to be quiet. We are to take on that submissive attitude. Not the time to ask questions or discuss or give our thoughts. We are to really just listen. It is a message that God has given the preacher that we get to take. He has the floor. And we are ready to receive it because we've already been led in those worship songs and those times of prayer and those things that have helped us focus our minds on Jesus. So now we're ready to receive it with the right posture and the right attitude and the right mindset. We're ready to hear. You know, that is the purpose of the whole service, is to bring us to Jesus. And I just think we want to be mindful of that every Sunday when we come in, to just be, for one, thankful for our ministers who prepare, who we know spend so much time in prayer and guidance and direction to make sure they're leading us well to the Father. But, you know, we're ready. It does take discipline, though. We like to do things our way. We like our ideas, our takes on Scripture. But this is not the time. We want to resist the temptation to want to speak right away. And that's just this focus of preaching and the importance of it, the sacred moment preaching is. And all the things that lead up to it are to help us get that posture that's ready to receive, that's ready to listen, that's ready to just hear God's message. It is from God. They remind us in general the act of preaching is a picture of the gospel. It's such a special time of the service. As we sit in this humble submission, you know, waiting for the message, ready to receive, we become aware of our desperate need of a Savior, our desperate daily need of our Savior. As we're sitting there waiting, we're just waiting to hear, what do you have for us? It's not meant just to give us some helpful hints or some helpful takeaways, you know, that'll help us live well. It takes us to Jesus. He is the answer to all our needs. He is the one we need to go to. He is the fulfillment. And so the book stated and used this quote, "Endless dialogue without a pause for preaching betrays both the direness of our situations and the depth of God's mercy." So we need a time to just be quiet and listen to the preaching. It is a blessing. Faithful preaching focused on Jesus is what we need. And I was thinking about Brother Greg, too. It's obvious that he respects his role as pastor and preacher. He takes it so seriously. He spends hours in prayer and study before he comes to give his message. And then he boldly proclaims it with humility. He's always leading us to the cross. And so that is a special time that we want to give our reverence to and our attention to, because it is the message God has for the people. And it has been given through his messenger here, Brother Greg. He is the model of the greatest preacher, which was Jesus. He is the example. He came not only to die, but also to preach. Luke 4:43 says, "I must preach the kingdom of God to all the other cities, because for this purpose I have been sent." But then it went from him, then he called his disciples to preach. And then in Acts, we know how the church is formed. I mean, it's still going on. Preaching is still the pinnacle and the important, as important today as it was then. And so this ability to be under a faithful, godly preacher who leads us to Jesus is a gift that we want to be thankful for and be mindful of and be respectful of. Everybody doesn't have that. What a blessing it is to be able to come to church and sit under good, godly teaching. That's not the way of the world. You know, I'm thinking of where Miss Teresa and them are right now. They have to be careful with what they do and what they say, and they're not open to just come and hear the message preached. But we are, and so what a gift we have to be able to hear from God's messenger directly every week as a means of growing in grace and growing together as Christians and like-minded believers. It is a sacred time, but it's important, and I love the preaching part of service, but the whole service is so helpful to help us get our minds right so that then we're prepared to go back out into that world and then come back the next week to be rejuvenated again with each other and with together. But the preaching, we just want to be mindful of that. And again, this was just a brief summary of that next chapter. She's going to go into much more depth on the preaching aspect of corporate worship, as what it is, what it entails, what it looks like, how we're benefited from it. but I just wanted to kind of go through it a little bit. But I will stop there. She'll be back next week, and she'll go back through more in depth. She'll give us all the gifts and the graces. But I just, faithful preaching is a gift from God, and we are blessed. And so now, I've got to go to the nursery, but y'all get to go to worship and be ready to hear the faithful message that Brother Greg has prepared from him. So let's close in prayer real quick. Thank you again for always being so attentive and sweet to me as I teach up here. But let's close in prayer. Lord God, we just love you so much, and thank you for all of your many blessings. We thank you that you give us all the things we need, Lord, for life and godliness, that you have provided all we need to walk in your ways and to do things your way, God, and to walk in obedience and holiness. God, help us to to lean into each other and to lean into our position as believers together, Lord, and to take advantage of these gifts of grace, Lord, that you have just given us so generously, Lord. I just pray, God, now for Brother Greg and Brother Nick and all those involved in service, the choir and the musicians, Lord, that you would just, God, be glorified in all that they do, or that you would be lifted up, that we would come to know you more, and that we would just desire to do things your way, Lord God. Just speak to us and prepare our hearts to hear your message, Lord. We love you, God, and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a good week.